Take them to the Gospel by Luke and chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, please, and chapter 2. And we'll read at verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now chapter 24, please. And we'll read from verse 1. Luke 24 and verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Now just down towards the end of the chapter, verse 22, just that we might understand that these two men were really two angels. We find in verse 22, Yea, certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And finally, in the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 1, Acts chapter 1. I'm reading at verse 9. And when he, that is the Lord Jesus, had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. We do look to the Lord for his help as we think about these three passages of Scripture this evening. What I would like to bring before you this evening for a few minutes are three angelic messages. That's what we have in these three passages. We have messages to men and women that was brought by angels. Now, generally speaking, the message of the gospel has been given to men to preach, men, mankind to preach. Saved men are able to tell forth the story of salvation. But we find in these three passages that it is angels that are used to bring a message of salvation, as we're going to see, to those that heard. And of course, we're all familiar, and this is of course a time of year, and maybe these scriptures are read often. We think up first of all in Luke chapter 2, and I want to write over this passage that we have a message of a saviour, a message of the saviour in fact. And what a wonderful amount of important teaching is contained in the message that the angel of the Lord had for these shepherds. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a saviour, which is Christ the Lord. A message of salvation. And this message of salvation was given to these shepherds from heaven. The angel of the Lord was a messenger that brought a message from God, and a message from God to these shepherds. And that message we are able to embrace this evening, a message of salvation. But when we come to Luke chapter 24, we have the other end of the Lord's experience on earth. He's grown up, he was the babe in the manger, he's grown into manhood. We've seen, as you read through Luke's gospel, his public ministry. And we see that Calvary in chapter 23, how he was crucified. And now in Luke chapter 24, we have the account of his resurrection. And we find that when the women come to the sepulchre, they are surprised and they are perplexed. They're surprised to find the stone rolled away. And they are perplexed when they find an empty tomb. Not that there was confusion in that tomb. The other Gospels make it clear that the grave clothes were still there. But the Lord Jesus had risen straight through those grave clothes. And so they are perplexed. And now we find that there are two angels that are sent, described here as two men, but later as angels. And they ask the question, why seek ye the living among the dead? And this evening we bring before you not only the fact that the Lord Jesus came down from heaven and was born, and not only did he die as is implied in Luke 24, but the tremendous fact upon which the gospel is based is that Christ is risen. There is a living Saviour, a living man in heaven, and the one who died for our sins upon the cross is alive again. And they ask the question, why seek ye the living among the dead? And so if in Luke chapter 2 it was a message of salvation, we're going to write over Luke 24 that it was a message of life. And Christianity, the gospel, brings to men and women divine life. Perhaps this evening you are dissatisfied with life. And perhaps you're discontent. And perhaps your life is empty and you feel it is meaningless. My dear friend, the Lord Jesus is able not only to deal with your sins, but he is able to give you a new life. And when you become a Christian and are born of God, a new life opens up to you, new relationship, a relationship with God, and new interests. And so we find there is a new life. And here is a message of life. A man has risen from the dead. And when we come to Acts chapter 1, we have the account of the Lord's ascension, that this risen man 40 days later was taken up, and these disciples saw him rise, and a cloud received him out of their sight, and these messengers from heaven stand by again, and they ask this question, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? And what is the message that they bring to these men on this occasion when the Lord Jesus ascends to heaven? It is a message of hope, because they proclaim the fact that the one who has gone back to heaven is coming back again. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. And we preach tonight the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has gone, but he is coming again. That coming is going to be in two parts. He's coming first to take from this world the believers, those that have trusted in him. He said to his own in John chapter 14, "If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself." But later, he is going to come in a public way, and he is going to establish his kingdom in this world. And so these three messages from these angels, a message of salvation, a message of life, and a message of hope. There is a certain prospect before the Christian. The Lord Jesus is coming again. I'm going to think of these things very briefly this evening. I'm sure that most of us have heard the words of the angel to these shepherds. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." And I just want to spend a few minutes just looking at some of the details of this message. And the first thing I want us to think about is the person who came. Who was it that came? Well, our verse is very clear. The message from heaven is very clear. The babe in the manger is Christ the Lord. That is a divine title, the Lord. It's the name by which God is known throughout our Old Testament. The Lord had come. In Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet Isaiah gets a vision of the Lord in heaven. And in the year that King Uzziah dies, Isaiah says, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." And so Isaiah gets a vision of the pre-incarnate Lord in all his divine majesty and holiness and glory. And the amazing thing when we come to Luke chapter 2 was the one that Isaiah saw and the one that filled the throne is the babe that is laid in the manger. And we want to understand this evening that the message of salvation is not bound up in a mere man. The Lord Jesus did become man. That is the wonder of incarnation. That the Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. And the one that was truly God became a true man. Altogether unique and different from us. As this gospel makes clear, the Lord Jesus was a man that was born holy. You and I were not born holy. We were born sinners. We were born of a fallen race. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, that just did not affect himself. It affected all his descendants. And each of us in this meeting, whether young or old, are linked to a fallen race. We fell with Adam. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And when Adam sinned, that ruin has affected us. But the Lord Jesus is a man of a different order altogether. And he was one that was born holy. But he is also the Lord. He is the one that Isaiah saw. He's the very creator and upholder of the universe. And in wondrous grace and amazing condescension, we find that this babe of which the angel spoke in Luke chapter 2, the sign that they would find, a babe wrapped in swaddling bands, lying in a manger, he is none other than Christ the Lord. My dear friend, how amazing it is that such was God's interest, such was God's love, that God was willing to give his only begotten Son. He was willing to give the Lord Jesus. And how amazing that the Lord Jesus was willing to come, to leave the splendour of heaven, to leave a place where he was honoured, a place where he was worshipped, a place where he was adored, and come into a world where he was despised. A world where he was unrecognized. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Lord Jesus was despised and rejected of men. Who was it that came? Well, the angel leaves us in no doubt. A Saviour, which is Christ, the Lord, the greatness of the person who came. No one greater could have come. It was the very Lord himself. But in what capacity did the Lord Jesus come? Well, our verses tell us he came as a Saviour. And how wonderful the fact that God has provided salvation for men and women and boys and girls. In Matthew chapter 1 we learn why his name is called, why his name is Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the gospel message is a message of salvation from sins. And this evening, each of us have got to face up to the fact that not only are we linked in birth to a fallen race, Adam fell and we've all fallen, and we were born with a nature, a sinful nature that resulted in us committing sinful acts and having sinful thoughts and saying sinful things. And tonight, in your sins, not only do you have a sinful nature, but you have committed sin. And you need a Saviour, and I need a Saviour who is able to save us from sins. Save us from sin's penalty. Because sin has a penalty. God will bring men to judgment. And every man who has never had their sins forgiven is going to face God and give an account for those sins, and they will suffer eternally for those sins. Sins must be given accounted, must be accounted for. But not only is there sin's penalty, but there is the bondage of sin, the slavery of sin. And tonight, I don't know you, but God does. And before God, you know that there are things in your life that you cannot get rid of. Habits that you cannot break. And perhaps sin has dragged you down. And sin tonight is a burden upon you. My dear friend, we want to tell you that the one that came from heaven as a Saviour to save you from sins. Save you from sin's domination. Save you from a life of sin. And save you from the ultimate consequence of those sins, eternal judgment in the lake of fire. And you say, how is this man able to save me from sins? How is he able to deal with this awful question and this awful burden that I have? And the answer is found in the cross. The answer is found in the fact that this sinless man, this holy man, the Son of God, was willing at Calvary to lay down his life, was willing to suffer at the hands of God, so that God can be just, God can be true to himself, and yet he can forgive the guilty. And this evening there is salvation from sins, there is forgiveness, because of the wonderful sacrifice of the Lord Jesus upon the cross. And you might say, what did he sacrifice? What did he give up? He gave up everything. He gave up himself. And so we find in the New Testament language like this, he gave himself for our sins. He gave himself. My dear friend, just think of that this evening. That's how much God values your soul. That's how much he cares for your eternal well-being, whether young or old. God wants you in heaven. God wants you to enjoy fellowship with himself. God wants you to have eternal life and to have the blessings that he freely bestows upon those that trust in his Son. And he has done everything that is necessary. And he has sent his Son into the world, this babe, as we've read in Luke chapter 2. And this Saviour, the Lord Jesus, has paid the price at Calvary, paid the price in his own blood, laid down his life. And the scripture says that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And this angel says to these men, these shepherds in Judea, on the very occasion of the Lord's birth, that the one who had come, the one who had been born, is a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. In fact, he is the Saviour. There is no choice of Saviours. There is only one. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter could preach and say and preach in his day that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Father has sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. My dear friend, as you think of this babe, I wonder how you appreciate the Lord Jesus who has come. Ah yes, a wonderful example. A wonderful life was lived by the Lord Jesus. Mind you, his life condemns every one of us. The only sinless man that has ever lived in this world. The only man that has ever done the will of God. He was willing at Calvary to give his life, that I might be saved, and that you might be saved. And you say, how can I be saved? Well, the Bible says you just call upon the Lord. And I think a wonderful illustration of that is that incident we find in Matthew chapter 14. Peter is walking on the water towards the Lord Jesus. And he takes his eyes off the Lord and the storm. He sees the storm round about and he begins to sink. And Peter called out this simple request, Lord, save me. The Lord Jesus stretched out his hands and saved him. My dear friend, that is what you have to do in your heart. You have to recognize that you need to be saved. That you're perishing. That you're in danger. Danger of eternal judgment. And you need to call out, Lord, save me. A man in a jail in Philippi asked the question, what must I do to be saved? And he heard the answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You see, Peter's call was a call of faith. Peter didn't look to the boats where his fellow disciples were in and ask them to save him. And he didn't think that he could save himself. But he calls out in faith to the Lord, Lord, save me. And he asked the Lord to save him because he knew the Lord could and would save him. My dear friend, this evening there is a Saviour who has died for you. And is risen again. And he is able to save. That is the language of the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 7. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. The purpose for which he came to be the Saviour of the world. How wonderful, this is a message that is for the whole world. A message that is not limited in any degree, and we cannot buy the salvation. It's of grace. By grace are you saved through faith. Says the Apostle in Ephesians chapter 2. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, this verse teaches us as well that this salvation that God had provided was not an afterthought with God. For unto you is born this day. You see, here was a day that was marked in the calendar of heaven. Here was a day that was marked out in divine counsel. And centuries of waiting have now come to a conclusion. The language of Galatians chapter 4 is fulfilled. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. What a momentous occasion this was. When the Lord Jesus came. And we could speak this evening of the fact that he came to the city of David, the subject of the prophetic word in Micah chapter 5. The Old Testament anticipated and foretold of the coming of the Lord Jesus. It foretold of his life and foretold of his death and his resurrection as well. All of this was all in God's plan and revealed in the Old Testament and now fulfilled in the New. And oh, what a message to hear, dear friend, the message of salvation. And the question that we have to ask and the question that you have to answer in your heart before God is this: what will I do with this Saviour? What will I do with this offer of salvation? Will you receive him? Will you believe in him? Or will you dismiss him? Will you say, not for me? And will you turn away from this gracious offer that is given to you? But what a message in Luke 24. These perplexed and sad women, they had been devoted followers of the Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry. They come with him to Jerusalem. They had seen him crucified upon the cross. And they had marked how Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had taken his body and carefully laid it in a new sepulchre. And now upon the first day of the week they had come to anoint his body with the spices that they had prepared. But you know, they came to the place. They came to the sepulchre. But there was no body to anoint. And the reason there was no body to anoint is this: that the Lord Jesus was risen. He was risen from the dead. And so Christianity is linked and based upon the historical fact of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now let's be clear and do not allow the skeptical minds of men of our day to turn you away from this. The New Testament is a historical record of a historical fact. The resurrection of Christ was witnessed. Men saw him alive. At the end of this chapter, he can say to men, "Handle me and see. A spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have." And on one occasion, 500 brethren at once saw him. The Lord Jesus is risen from the dead. And here the angels, they give to these women and remind these women what the Lord Jesus had told them, that he was going to be crucified. These things were not a surprise to the Lord Jesus. It was not some unexpected turn of events. The Lord Jesus had told them this. And the angels remind the disciple, these women, of what the Lord Jesus had said. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And they went back. And they went back to the disciples. And they told the disciples what they had heard. And I just want to close the meeting with these things. But their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. I wonder what the gospel seems to you this evening. I hope it doesn't seem to you as an idle tale. But here were men that would later in our chapter, they would believe. But at this point, they believed them not. And here were men that were marked by unbelief when they had heard the message that the Lord Jesus was risen again. Dear friend in the meeting, have you believed? Where is your confidence lying this evening? God wants you to just trust in his Son. Just depend upon him. Now risen from the dead and ascended into heaven. Or that it might not be said of you, believed them not. You see, salvation and knowing God and having eternal life, this life that God will give to those that believe, it is on the ground of faith. It always has been on the ground of faith. Right from the beginning of the Bible, there is the need for faith. The very first verse of the Bible demands faith. In the beginning, God. No proofs, no arguments, a statement that God requires us to accept by faith. And from beginning to end, men and women and boys and girls, they come to know God on the ground of faith. It is impossible, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For they that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we find a message of life was given to these men, and they believed them not. My dear friend, don't be like them. These men did believe, and did realize that the Lord Jesus was risen. But tonight, the question of faith is important. That your faith might be resting on the Son of God. Says the wonderful verse of Scripture, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That was God's intention. But you can only be saved if you're willing to take the place of a sinner and acknowledge your sin before God and confess it before God, whatever that sin and those sins are. And there is sufficient in the death of Christ to give you forgiveness. But you must come on the ground of faith. You must just put your confidence for eternity on the Lord Jesus. That when he died and suffered and died on the cross, and now that he is risen, that work is enough, that work is sufficient to save your soul for eternity. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank thee again for thy word. We thank thee that thou hast spoken to men and women, that thou hast brought to us a message of salvation and a message of life. And we bless thee, O God, for a message of hope as we would anticipate again the coming again of the Lord Jesus. But our Father, our concern would be that each soul in this meeting might be ready when the Lord Jesus comes again. Our Father, we pray that whether young or old, that each of us might just be trusting in thy Son, and might just rest our all upon him. And bless thee, O God, that he died for us, that he suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. We thank thee for the gift of the Saviour. How we wonder again at the words of Scripture, the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. And yet, O God, we pray that each of us might be able to say like Mary, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour." So bless us now as we part. We pray that thy word might be an encouragement and a help to every soul. And pray, O God, that if there are any that are not yet saved, that they might find the Lord Jesus as their own and personal Saviour. Bless us now as we part. Take us to our homes in safety. We ask of thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.